This morning I want to talk about a church building. Not the physical building that we're in here today, but not the bricks and wood, the ceiling, the lights. I want to talk about the building of God, the church that our Lord is building. It's composed of living stones. You know, the New Testament uses a number of different descriptive images to show us what church is like. It's described as a family that we're born again into. We become brothers and sisters of faith. It's described as a kingdom that we all become citizens with Jesus Christ ruling as our king. Other scriptures talk about the church as a body, emphasizing unity, diversity, and each of us performing our different roles in building up that body. But this morning, I want to explore the imagery of a church as a building, with every Christian a stone built into that building. You see, we are God's building. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know, there's a story about the king of Sparta. Now, Sparta was a civilization in ancient Greece, and he boasted to a visiting monarch about the mighty walls of Sparta. Well, this guest looked around and he didn't see any walls, because in those times, the cities were always guarded by high, thick walls. But he didn't see any. So he told the king, "I'd like to see those walls. Show them to me." Well, the Spartan ruler smiled and pointed out his army, his soldiers, standing at attention. With great satisfaction, he said, "These are the walls of Sparta. His soldiers are what protected. His soldiers were the strength. His soldiers were the walls." Paul used this same imagery in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. He said, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, have been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." You see, Paul goes from a concept of citizenship in the kingdom to the concept of a family, and finally he goes to the concept of a building. And this one group of scriptures here in Ephesians, he takes us from family relationships to members of the very house of God, closeness to one another and to the Lord. You see, as we examine ourselves as family of God and we look at our own families, it's possible that our families are scattered. We don't all live together in the same house, maybe not even the same town or the same state. Our families can move. But in the figure of a building, there's no separations of the stones that make up the walls. Everything is closely joined together. It's knit together. The King James says that we're fitly framed together. The Church of God draws us together, bonds us together, and holds us together. You look around this building, and you know, really, it wasn't that many years ago that it was just a stack of 2x4s in a lumber yard. It was a pile of nails in a hardware store, a roll of carpet in a warehouse down in Georgia, and the concrete hadn't even been made yet. But now, due to a lot of planning, a lot of hard work, some expertise, all those pieces, all those hundreds of nails, screws, bolts, are all been come together am joined into one wall, a wall of Jesus Christ. You see, that's the same with God's building, with us as the building stones. Look around here today. These stones, these pieces, have little in common outside the family of God. Would we even have known each other if it wouldn't been for the draw of the Lord on our life, drawing us together in this one place and fitting us together? We come from different economic situations, different backgrounds, different interests, and yet here we are. Jesus Christ, the master architect and master builder, has taken us and joined us together in this building. What Paul said of the Jews and the Gentiles who had been separated for hundreds of years is also true for us today. He says in Ephesians 2, 13 and 14, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of the separation." Jesus Christ takes us all. He sees inside of us what we can be, how we can fit into the walls of this church, this spiritual church. He chisels a piece off here. He sands a piece off there. He smooths us out. He gets us ready. And then he starts building us in, fitting us into the place in his building. See, we're all just rough-hewn stone until Jesus Christ gets a hold of us and starts shaping us and starts fitting us together. And when it's all done, there's nothing out of place. There are no defective or inappropriate pieces. And together we form a building, but not just any building. We form a temple. You know, for centuries, Jews looked to the temple in Jerusalem as a dwelling place of God. In Acts 7:48, it says, "However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as a prophet says." See, God's temple is found in the heart of his people. So we're not just any building, this group right here. We're a building with the highest purpose that it could ever be. We're a temple of God. We're the dwelling place of God, because God dwells in each and every one of us. To build a place like this, you need a blueprint. I read a story of a contractor in Michigan. He was building a house. They built the first floor, and it went along perfectly, no problems. But when they started on the second floor, things didn't seem to fit. They were having all kinds of problems. So he was trying to use the wrong set of blueprints for the second story. They had old blueprints, so he had to change them and use the new. Once they got rid of the old blueprints, everything went fine. In the Old Testament, when the Jews built a tabernacle in the wilderness, God gave them very explicit instructions. The book of Exodus tells in great detail about how the tabernacle was to be built, the length, the height, and every fine detail of the construction God laid out in Exodus. And what always amazed me is when they started to build the temple, when Solomon built, God gave explicit instructions again. But they didn't have to use hammers or chisels at the work site. Listen to 1 Kings 6:7. "And the temple, when it was being built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built." God's plans were so precise, and his workmen were so precise. They cut the stone and made the pieces in the quarry, and it fit when they got it to the building site of the temple. And it makes sense for us today, if we're going to be part of God's temple, if we're going to be those bricks in the temple, we need to have a blueprint too. And our blueprint's the Word of God, just as it was in those days. We have to be in the Word of God to understand the blueprints, what He calls us to be. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And Peter took it farther. If anyone speaks, let him speak in the oracles, as the oracles of God. Everything that we teach, everything that we believe, must be founded on what God has said. Or as bricks of the temple, we won't fit neatly together. God doesn't give us each different instructions. He gives us each the same instructions on how to fit together, on how to be in unity. You know, the interesting thing is God's building's never done. It's never completed. The blueprints are never put away. Every time someone is added to the body of Christ, another stone is set into place. And the building keeps getting larger and larger. See, we build on the work that others have done. Ephesians 2:20 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. They were the first ones to preach the gospel. We read in God's word and we learn from them and we follow their example. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:9-10, he said, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed to how he builds on it. You see the joint effort here? Paul started, Apollos followed up. It should be the same for us in this spiritual building as those ones before us started building. They started the work. It's up to us to continue the work that was being done, to make that path for those behind. There's a poem I want to share with you. It's called The Bridge Builder. And it goes, an old man traveling a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream held no fears for him. But he turned one safe on the other side and builded a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting time in building here. Your journey will end with a closing day. You will never again will pass this way. You have crossed a chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in a path I have come, he said. There followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. The stream which has been not as not to me, to that fair-haired youth may pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. Many of you here today have built a bridge that allowed others to cross. And I should challenge everyone that's here today to continue to build so others will be able to cross. The child that ran in here needs to have a bridge to cross. Needs has people to care and help raise him up. It's harder and harder for families today. And we have to be that place that builds a spiritual bridge so they can maintain the faith, so they can learn to separate the things of the world from the things of God. And today it's even more important than the ones that built that bridge for me to cross. It's just my prayer that God places that burden on each one of us here today, that we see these kids, we see their enthusiasm, their dancing, the VBS, and we build that bridge to help them across that chasm. For every building, there has to be a cornerstone. And for our spiritual building, there has to be a cornerstone. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Peter continued on in 1 Peter 2, 6 through 8. Therefore, it also contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, which they also were appointed. Jesus Christ, while chosen by God, was rejected by men. See, Jesus wasn't the kind of Messiah they were looking for. They weren't looking for this peaceful, meek man. They wanted a warrior. He wasn't what they expected, so they stumbled over him. The rock that they considered the nuisance was then used by God as a cornerstone of this great spiritual building. There's a story back in the days of the Old West. When it was being settled, there was a lot of pioneers who made their way over the Oregon Trail. When they got to the eastern slope of the Rocky Mountains, there was this one stream. It was just a little bit too wide to step across. So there was a stone, a big ugly lump in the middle of the stream, that they would step on that stone and go across the stream and continue on the trail. Years passed and other pioneers came and went, and they started to settle that area on the eastern slopes of the Rocky Mountains. They began to string fences, build cabins, and settle in. Well, this one man built a cabin right near where the crossing of this stream was. He had a problem, though. His door flapped in the wind. So he went and got this ugly lump, this ugly rock out of the river, and put it on his porch to hold his door. It was there for a long time. More years passed. Railroads were built to connect the towns. More people pushed west. There were cities being built. More houses sprang up. Well, a nephew of the old pioneer went east to study geology at a large university. He returned home during vacation and went to visit his uncle. And lo and behold, on the front porch, that ugly lump, that rock from the river, they found out was just not an ugly rock, but it was a gold nugget. It was the largest gold nugget ever found on the eastern side of the Rocky Mountains. It had been there for three generations. The first generation saw it as an ugly lump they stepped on to cross the river. The second generation saw it as an ugly rock he put on his porch to hold his door. But then they saw what it really was. It was a lump of gold. The same thing is true of Jesus. Some of us see him as a lump of gold, something precious to be held, to be valued. But there's others that just see Jesus as an ugly lump. Something to stumble over, something to step on. I want you to think about the world around us today. The things that are being said on the newscasts. The way our opinions are trying to be changed. I heard Hillary Clinton say that Christians are just going to have to lighten up on their viewpoints. I'm not exactly sure what she meant by that, but if it's what I think, I'm not going to do that. God's word doesn't change. If she meant we need to love each other more, then I'll agree with that. But I won't back down on what God tells us. You see, the foundation is the most important part of any building. It has to be strong enough to support whatever's built on it. It has to be laid precisely because the cornerstone is what everything else is measured off of. It has to be a unifier of the building. And that's what Jesus Christ is to God's building. The whole building's tied together because of him. In the book of Ephesians, Paul doesn't let us forget that we have a relationship together because of Jesus Christ. Time and again, Paul talks about how everything is in Christ, is in him, is by him, is through him, is through his blood, and is by his death. Everything comes to us through Christ. Jesus said it best himself. He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So I need you to ask yourself today, why have you been built? Why this body of Christ, this building, been built? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." It's important that we don't forget the purpose for what we've been built. Peter calls us back to our purposes, to proclaim the praises of him who made us. Let's all stand together. We live in a world of darkness. We live in a world that doesn't know God. And it's our responsibility to proclaim the praises of him who called us out. Called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. We have to remember that we don't exist so people can say, "What a great building this is." We don't even exist so people can say, "What a great bunch of people they are." We exist so people can look and say, "What a great God." "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." What kind of image are you putting out there in your life? Can people look at you and say, "What a great God"? Can they connect your life to God in any way? Can they see the spiritual aspect of what it is to serve God? This morning I extend the invitation. If anyone here doesn't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I invite you to be added as a living stone into the spiritual building of God. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus, God's Son, and what it takes to become a Christian. How you can step out of that world of darkness into the world of light, serving Jesus Christ. And for those here today that maybe have slipped away, maybe God's not as important as your life right now as he once was. Maybe you've slipped away and you don't know what God's calling is on your life, what he's called you to do, or how you fit in into this building of living stones. Come and pray. This altar will be open in just a moment. Come and talk to God. And then listen to see what he has to say. God has never moved. He's right where he's always been. If your desire has grown cold, it's time to draw closer to God. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for those that have gone before us. Father, I thank you for those that have built that bridge that I may come across. Father, I thank you for those who have cared enough to take the time to teach and to lead, to be the words of Christ, to be the hands and the feet of Christ. Father, I pray for this body of believers, this living building, that we have nothing but the desire to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that you will give each of us that desire, that burden for the lost, Father, and that we be unified in your leadership and we follow you as you take us out. Father, I just pray and thank you for everyone who are here today, and I ask you to pour your blessings out upon them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.